This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
At your service. It's the Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts. To ask a question, call 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Now, the host of the Home Improvement Show, Rich Orris, on 97.1 FM Talk.
All right, we are back, second hour, and having a blast here today. Rich Orris, live with you today, KMOX Home Improvement Show, special guest, ex-host of the KMOX Home Improvement Show, Scott Mosby, and owner of Mosby Building Arts. So hopefully we'll get into some conversations on that, but maybe not, because what we love to do is talk to you, hear what you're up against, answer some questions, hopefully be able to help you out with whatever you have going on today. So we're here. We got a whole nother hour with you. 314-436-7900 is how you can find us right here in St. Louis. And we've got Bean on the line. So let's get to Bean and see what is happening. Can you hear us? Are you there?
Yes, sir.
Awesome. Awesome. What's going on with you?
So I had some window screens that were damaged a little bit with the recent hail that came through, and looking at doing the replacement myself, I see there's a fiberglass, a polyester, obviously some stainless, et cetera. Just wanted your thoughts in general on the fiberglass versus the polyester, and there's like a charcoal color, a darker color. Just wanted your thoughts in general on those.
It's pretty amazing how many different screens are out there, including not just the material, but how you see through them. Scott, you got any tips on the screen material?
Well, we learned the hard way. Charcoal is the color. Darker allows you to look right through and pass that screen from the inside out, looking from the darker interior of the house to the lighted exterior. And when you're looking at the house from the exterior, there's also a question of, do you want half screens or full screens when we're doing window replacements? So, because you have a different look from the exterior as well. So charcoal, yes, for sure. Fiberglass has been the product of choice mostly for looking past it. And so I'm unfamiliar with the polyester.
Okay. Yeah, I think the polyester is billed as being a little more durable, but these are all, you know, not going to be, they're exterior screens, not really going to have much opportunity for damage other than catastrophic, which would probably cut through anything.
Yeah. We've had such good luck with the fiberglass charcoal over the years. And the way I learned this was, we had a very quality driven client many years ago. He wanted brass screens because that was it in the heyday. So we put these brass screens on, the house looked terrible. I mean, all you could see were these shiny, you know, squares that were brass colored, and they were, I mean, if you love screens, that you would love this house. But if you want a good looking house that kind of gets along with itself and the colors and the differences, we went back, and actually he was happy with the brass. His wife never signed off on that, made us change the fiberglass.
Yeah, and
it almost looked like probably a like an industrial kind of thing.
Yeah, well, it was almost like bulletproof screens, you know.
Yeah, so that polyester stuff, they make like pet screens that cats won't even be able to scratch. But there's a visible thing with those where you'll see through the fiberglass and the charcoal a lot easier and better, almost like it's not there. I have one screen. I replaced a bunch of screens on my house. I use fiberglass. I have one screen that I would probably switch to like this kind of pet screen they talk about, because we got a birdhouse and we put it on the top part of the window. It like suction cups to the window. My wife loves it. So then she got a second one. So then we found a squirrel in the birdhouse, and the squirrel climbs the screen to the birdhouse. So needless to say, that screen isn't holding up quite as well as the rest of the home that I did a couple years ago.
Or grandchildren. You may have that same choice around pets, grandchildren, any other hardware customers that might use that house. But yeah, now I'm more familiar with that polyester. I know it more as pet friendly screens, but I didn't know the product.
Yep.
Yeah, I've got a sliding door and a screen on that, and that might be an opportunity for something like that, you know, where it is down by the ground and, you know, the dog goes in and out there.
Yes.
But it sounds like for the regular window screens, just stay with the tried and true charcoal fiberglass and we'll be good to go.
Yeah, but look at them before you put that polyester on, because when you put two different materials on, you can wind up with a charcoal on one and then kind of a light grayed out different finish on another. So the difference could be more noticeable than the cost of replacing that, you know, sliding door every 3 years.
Yeah. Gotcha. All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right, Bean. Thanks.
Yeah. Thanks a lot. Great question. Great call. Let's jump real quick here to Mike and see what Mike has going on. Are you there? Can you hear us?
I am. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, thanks for sharing all your knowledge with us. It's awesome. I have an older kitchen. I'm looking to hang a microwave and a cabinet on an exterior brick wall. It's got a layer of plaster over it, and I know you got to be very careful with brick, and I wanted to get your recommendations on the best way to hang from the brick wall there.
You can hang them direct. I mean, you can hang them with Tapcon screws. They're enormous flange screw threads, so you can do that. What's hard to overcome, Mike, is the irregularity. Plaster is not flat. Drywall is not flat. It's the illusion of being flatter than everything else. So when you're trying to maybe match up the styles or the corners of cabinet to cabinet, that's where the problem will come from. But as far as holding up a cabinet with the proper hangs, and you can get fasteners to do that today. Rich might be more familiar with those, but that's doable. The problem is when you drive them home, you pull that new cabinet in too far or it's out on a hump, so it's the shimming of the adjacent or that cabinet in a blind place where you can't get to it.
Okay, and do you have to you recommend pre-drilling, I assume?
Yeah, so those Tapcon screws that are made for masonry, you would pre-drill through the cabinet into the masonry with a, you know, wood bit for the cabinet and then a masonry bit, and those Tapcon screws usually come with the bit to get the correct size, because the sizing is imperative that you have the right size for that screw to go into a masonry product and hold tight and hold up for you. But yeah, it'll mount right to it, and yep, shimming it out and keeping it straight and all that's the hardest part.
All right, good recommendation. All right, thank you, gentlemen. Have a good day.
All right, Mike.
Yeah, no problem. You have a good day too. Appreciate the call and the question, and it's something we get into around Mosby all the time in working on older homes in Kirkwood and Webster and all these in the St. Louis City and plaster walls. We're doing cabinets onto masonry plaster walls. channeling through it for wiring, and a lot of times we fur them out to make them straighter and then drywall to make it work out and maybe even get some insulation value in there when doing an entire job anyway, and that'll help the keep the cabinet straight and all that good fun stuff. But hey, we're going to get into our Cardinals break here, and wanted to remind everybody, if you're on KMOX, you want to hear us, jump over to 97.1 FM. We'll be there for you. 314-436-7900 is how you're going to get to us in the next three segments. We'll be waiting for you.
It's the Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts on 97.1 FM Talk. Now, once again, Rich Orris.
All right, we are back. Plenty of show left for everybody. Rich Orris here with my special guest, Scott Mosby, today. And we are just having a blast. Really, a lot of great calls, a lot of great questions so far. And really, we can get to anything you need. I know we're having a great time at it. We'd love to help you out. Anything you have going on, feel free to give us a call. 314-436-7900, still the same number, even on 97.1, that you can get to us right here today. We've got three good segments left and plenty of time for you to get everything taken care of. And how's it feel to be back in, Scott?
Well, I miss it. I miss the helping. I mean, being able to add something, I miss the purpose of helping people. That was the one thing. People say, why do you do this so long? It's like, man, it's a great feeling to help somebody. That's the why.
Yeah, it is. No, it truly is. And it's good, I think, really to just be that kind of second opinion, like seeing that second doctor or, like when talking about the deck, and he's like, wow, it really sounds like the person I talked to knew what they were talking about because they had a very similar answer and they spoke about those things. And that's what I try and kind of warn people about, but also talk about, even helping people out Monday through Friday with Mosby and then here on the show, is don't feed information, ask good questions. And let them answer, and then you'll just get a feel. You don't have to be the expert in it to get a feel for somebody. Say, they did answer just like that. And so now, I'm more comfortable with that person, and that's great. And helping out is really, it's the sole benefit of doing this whole thing and what I do all week for you during the week. It's really what I'm there for, and we take – our clients, I mean, we build such great relationships. I have over 300-something clients being here for 23 years. I know so many by name, and you take it personal. You're like, it's not just what we're doing, but it's the fact that I want to do the right thing for this person and the best thing. So speaking of that, let's try and do that for Sam here and see what's going on. Sam, are you there? Can you hear us?
Oh,
yeah, there you are.
Hi, how's it going?
It's going great. Thanks for calling in. What do you have?
All right, so about a year or so ago, it was an American Standard shower install kit. It was like a four-piece, you get the three-piece walls and the shower pan.
Okay.
And I put it in, and everything was going great for a while, but then I noticed a leak down below where the walls were too flexible and the silicone was failing. So I pulled all the silicone out. And according to a plumber I know, I put some power grab along the bottom to hold the walls so they stay more solid and re-caulked over that. Now, a few months go by, and I'm starting to get a little bit of mold on the silicone, but it's not on the surface of the silicone. When you go to clean it, it won't remove. It's almost like it's in the silicone.
Yeah, that's just moisture. And that's the same as a bathtub. So this is the same thing, only worse. So you have a bathtub with, say, tile on the walls or a shower kit above that, so a tub shower kit. But with a shower base, what happens is the water on that tub or shower base is wet all the time. And it will migrate, and the walls behind that shower kit with silicone on it, you may have enough moisture behind that just trying to get out as well. This is just a normal maintenance thing. It indicates the moisture is coming from the back trying to get through, and you just need to cut that silicone out, dry that out for several days, caulk it, and I promise it'll come back.
Yeah.
It just, you know, I mean, well, I don't know what the humidity today is. It's something like 85%. So of all the water you can hang in the air today, we're almost full. So, you know, and that's inside your walls as well.
Okay, so basically just cut it out and try again.
Yeah, you're in a maintenance situation. And just because you have an impervious surface like those shower walls, and I love those American Standard. They're good products. They're good materials. They do seal. But the one place you do have to watch is where the shower controls are, that those escutcheons are really tight. So if you have it on the same wall more, where the controls are, hot, cold, shower, diverter, and the shower head, that may indicate water's getting past those escutcheons and the hot, cold. If so, that's a situation of where you, if it's more there, then you may be contributing to the water behind the wall. But usually on the side and the rear, it's just ambient moisture and, you know, just St. Louis.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that is actually where it seems to be happening more, is on that wall with the shower controls. So.
Yeah. Look there, pull those off and inspect those, because even around the shaft, if on a one-piece shower, you pull that thing out, you turn left or right, you know, it's a kind of foam gasket that keeps the water out of there, which it all looks good until you stand in front of the shower head and that water hits your chest and then bounce right into all those controls. So you're really hitting it with a fire hose.
Yeah, and that plays into that too. And the usage of the shower is another big thing, where if multiple people use it, it's being used 2-3 times a day, something like that, and it's on that front wall, like Scott said, you're showering, so 50% of that water is bouncing off of you and hitting the front wall. 25 is going left and 25 is going right.
Yeah.
In my shower, I get the same thing. And I have a little bench on the backside, and I get it around the bench all the time.
Yeah.
Because the water sits on the bench. The bench doesn't slope a whole lot from when they put it together and built the house. So I get it more on the bench seat and around that, and then I get it on that front wall, because that's where all the water lands, sits, and is constantly there. If you dried that shower every time you got out of it, it would last longer. It would still happen, but it would last longer. But not many people are drying their shower every time they get out, especially if you're showering twice a day and there's two of you. So that's maybe four showers a day sometimes.
Yeah. Now, would you recommend maybe putting some silicone behind the escutcheon plate?
Around the edge, yes, I would, and maybe no, you don't, because you can't get those critters back off, you know, 2 years later if you have to pull, you know, and change the cartridge behind it. So the answer is whatever you can do to seal better around those. So if you do put silicone behind it, a very small ribbon of it, and then you have to realize to get that escutcheon plate, that finish chrome or brush brass, whatever finish, you may need to cut it off with a razor blade to get through that silicone.
Yeah.
So, you can seal it up better. You know, everything has its consequences. So some good, some bad.
Yeah, everything's a double-edged sword, it seems.
Amen. Amen. Careful what you ask for. You just might get it.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your help.
All right, Sam. Take care.
Yeah. Appreciate it. Great question, and something we battle very, very often. Let's jump to Jim and see what Jim has going on. Are you there, Jim?
Yes, I am. How are you doing today?
Doing wonderful. Just wonderful. How are you?
Yeah, doing well.
Good.
So you guys are talking about decks a lot today, so I figured I'd ask about mine. So I have it's a walkout basement, so the deck is like, you know, 10 feet, you know, high, okay?
Uh-huh.
I was looking at replacing just the boards on the deck, you know, maybe going to composite. The part that I'm not so sure about for replacing just those boards is my bay window that sticks out. And I wasn't able to tell, do those boards go all the way underneath that bay window, or does it stop at the bay window? You know, or is it just, you know, because it's kind of sticking out a little bit, you know, so I was just wondering if you guys understand my question and you know, maybe how to get those boards out.
Could be either way, frankly. When you're standing on the deck, what is the siding on that bay window? What's the exterior cladding?
I'm sorry about the bay window. Say that again.
Underneath the windows of the bay, what's down there? Is it vinyl siding? Is it brick? What is the wall surface on the exterior of your bay?
It's a vinyl siding.
Okay. Down on where the vinyl siding hits the decking, you can kind of get down like looking for a contact lens, but you have to get down real close and kind of probe, ideally with something like a flat blade screwdriver, and see just how far back that decking goes. Because the decking does not go underneath that. But it could be framed either way. It just six and one half dozen the other of how they framed that deck and band joist.
Yeah, like a thin putty knife.
Yeah, yeah, the better
would
idea.
Would work well, like a
much know,
inch
idea.
Wide, inch and a half wide putty knife that you can just kind of slide under there, because you'll have more length to be able to go. If it does run under it, that's when you'll notice. If you get most of that putty knife under there and you're still feeling it on top of that deck board.
When you go downstairs and you look up at the decks from down below, you should be able to see whether you're looking at decking and floor joists going all the way to the house, or that you're looking up at a, you know, three-sided kind of parallelogram thing where you're looking at another under finish, usually plywood or something, from the bottom up.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I looked under there, but underneath. But there's a I'm not sure what to call it, but
box
there's
out,
you know, some yes.
Yeah. Well, you can remove the box out or remove that. I would personally remove that box out first and see what I'm up against before going at that. You know, to find out what you're up against.
Yep.
Gotcha.
And another thing to remember is if you have a cedar wood deck floor, that's an inch and a half thick, and your composite board's going to be about an inch thick, so you're going to have a good half-inch space between the new deck board and that vinyl siding anywhere that deck touches the house.
Yeah.
You follow
Rich's point there, that void?
I do, And there's probably only half an inch down, so it'd probably be about an inch down, you know, for stepping out. So, with you there.
And if you have the opportunity when you change this decking, and this is buying insurance, but it's a big deal. If you pull that decking off, you can pull that siding underneath those windows. I would suggest an ice and water shield or some sort of a flashing that diverts and runs the water out and deflects it out over the band joist framing, the perimeter floor joist thing. You following me there?
So I am.
Put a roof on the vertical wall. Seal it up as if you were using a garden hose so it wouldn't penetrate. Then you can put your siding back on. Then you can put your decking back up with low risk, because where water does intersect where that decking is and that wall underneath that bay window. And that's where a lot of damage. And be prepared when you pull that box out apart down below to encounter rot. For just that reason. It's not often flashed. It's one of the things we do at Mosby, because we got tired of fixing everybody's, you know, intersection.
Yep. Okay. Gotcha. All right. Well, thank you very much for the information. And those were some very good tips. Really appreciate it.
All right, Jim. Good luck.
Okay. Okay. Thanks.
Yep. Yeah. Good luck. And that flashing is something, you know, I see houses, I would say the last house I looked at, the newest I can remember, the house was built around 2019.
New house.
Four decks.
Oh my.
None of them have any kind of flashing at the decks whatsoever. And it's so a lot of people think, oh, I'm going to get this newer structure. These people are going to know. They're going to flash this stuff right. It's a know-all, end-all. I'll buy this house. I'll never have to work on it. I'll never have a problem. And it's all about the practices that the company and the builder and that they stand by. And even the municipal inspections and all that doesn't necessarily require that. They're not looking for that. They're not saying, hey, you're supposed to have this, because it's just a lot of areas may do that. you're down in Texas or Florida and you're getting hurricanes and things, I guarantee you.
You'll find out.
they'll make sure they're doing things as good as they possibly can.
Yeah.
Here, it's like they're not concerned about that, so we just don't have that in a lot of our codes, and it's not something that they're readily, highly inspecting. And with so many different products in the world.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
The some of these newer exterior wallboard systems, the same house I'm looking at, and so I look up the exterior wallboard system, and it says, yeah, so the nails in the field should be a maximum of 12 inches apart. Every 12 inches or less, you should have a nail. And I only looked at one spot, but it was 18 inches. So like, okay, so they're not in – So a municipality trying to look at every different type of product and know and understand the nailing pattern of five different types of products is very difficult to do. And this is how we wind up in these situations, very, very unfortunately. So, but we can get into a lot more of that, and we can get into a lot more of your calls. We're going to jump into a break, but hey, we're here. Two more segments, half hour left for you. 314-436-7900 finds me and Scott. We'll be right back.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk. St. Louis's home for conservative talk.
All right, guys, we are back here live, 97.1 FM. I love the fact now that we get to run the show on two different stations, same time. It's cool that we can even get to do that, but I still get to be a part of my 97.1 FM family like I had been for about 8 or 9 years before, and just absolutely appreciate all the fans, all the people out there, all the friends that listen up, call in. I hear about it all the time, at least once a week as I run around doing what I do. So let's hear from Carol here and see what's going on. Are you there? Can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you. Thank you.
Oh, you are very welcome. Thank you for calling in.
All right. Well, I have always had cracks, just small cracks that have been painted over in the ceiling of my living room and dining room. And I am about to embark on a project of redoing this to eliminate those visible cracks in my ceilings of my dining room and living room. Hopefully my house will not settle any further and crack them in the future. So my question is really about what kinds of things should I know before I enter into this project? I'm hiring a professional team. I'm not doing this myself. But what kinds of things should I know? Can you repair it partially? Do you have to replace all of the ceilings in those rooms? What's better? What kinds of hints could you give me, questions I should ask in order to know and get the best product?
Sure. Yeah, Carol, absolutely. And really, the answer there could be almost anything. Sometimes it could be a pretty simple repair done the right way. Sometimes it's pull out the whole ceiling, and sometimes it's something in between. The real question to ask is, why is it cracking? Is the foundation settling? Is it truss lift and the roof is moving? Is it framing of how the house was originally framed? Because I see a lot of what I would call middle-aged houses, you know, 50s to 70s. So it's not like the 1904. It's not 2000, but... And the way they did some of the framing when they went from a living room and a dining room, and it's like this big L shape, there's correct. Always a crack right off that corner that kind of, your kitchen's usually on the other side, and you got two kitchen walls, and your living room's the biggest portion, and the small part of the L is your dining room, and a lot of those cracks are right off that corner wall, and it's just kind of how they drywalled, how they framed, and sometimes it means getting in there and adding framing that you can attach to in a situation like that. Sometimes it's truss lift where the boards are moving and lifting up, and they're swelling and shrinking with humidity and all of that. So the real question is, to for me, is do they have a reason why? And then that gets you towards that real answer. Scott, you got something on that with us?
Well, Carol, do you know if your house has roof trusses or lumber, what we call conventionally framed, where carpenters cut it and nailed the stuff all together?
No, I don't know. It is a ranch house. We are in South City, and it is probably from the 1960s, is approximately when it was built. So, okay. But I don't know. I'm sorry.
That answers the question. From the 60s, that would be conventionally framed, and it's right back at Rich Orris that it depends on what wood is behind that drywall or plaster and how securely that stays, because on a truss situation, literally the ceiling, the roof, and the truss can lift up away from the walls of your living room. I don't think you have that issue, and it's really hard to convince somebody they have their ceiling going up instead of the foundation going down. It's like no, this is a thing. so I think you're in good hands, and Rich is kind of guiding. If you have not enough fasteners or isn't enough wood there, which is that kind of place where Rich is describing, they don't often put enough what we call backing or a flat 2x6 up there where you can get, you know, enough fasteners in to secure it or glue it. And, you know, my father's words back when, where you can glue, screw, and tattoo it together.
Yeah. Yep. And sometimes, Carol, the actual crack can lead you into one direction or another, where if it's a straight crack, a lot of times that's where drywall seamed, where drywall meets, and it probably just isn't attached well and doesn't have good backing behind it in order to keep it from moving and cracking.
Yeah.
But other times, if that crack is coming off at a 45 or like a diagonal to everything, it's breaking through the actual drywall, then you lean more towards, I need to look at house movement. I need to look at things lifting. I need to look at the foundation, because that would be something lead you more towards movement and more stress on the drywall.
In order to replace or to repair it, do you replace the whole? I understand you have to repair that structural problem, whatever that is, before you would even worry about replacing your ceilings, because you'll just have that problem again. But
yeah,
if once they address that basic problem and it is manageable, do they replace the whole ceiling or do they just replace the areas where it's cracked?
Usually just the areas where it's cracked.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep. They might cut out a section that's 2 foot wide or 4 foot wide, work on the framing, get the backing in they need, and then replace that section, and the rest is still good.
Yeah.
Good. Okay.
Carol, I think this is a great question to qualify your contractor, because if they give you things like, oh, yeah, we'll get it all fixed up, no, you won't even know it's there. That's true for the first 6 or 12 months, but if it is some sort of a structural moving and it's more than just a Band-Aid, you know, surface fix, the experienced guys will come back and say, kind of like what Rich said, it's like, I don't really know. For this one, you know, most of these are going to, no worries, we'll get that. These two here are, you know, concern me. Now you've got a partner and not a easy answer.
Right, and that's what I appreciate, you all giving me the heads up on what possible things I should listen for and look for and yeah. how they will possibly yep. address it. Okay,
trust that little voice inside. You'll know whether whether they're whistling Dixie or whether they're shooting you the straights. You kind of sense whether people are comfortable with that question and answer or not. So
all right. Yep. All right. Thank you. Thanks so much.
Okay. Oh, very welcome. I appreciate the call and the question. And that's a common thing dealt with all the time around. And I will, Scott, talking about qualifying your contractor with answering these questions. And like I mentioned earlier, ask questions of the people visiting and ask about their solutions, but don't give them any information. I'll never forget years ago, I was looking at windows for someone, and she really started asking about the lead safe and what's that mean and what do you actually do that. I said, well, why do you ask that? She said, well, I've had three or four different window people in here giving me prices on windows, and they all say, well, each window costs $250 more because it's an older home and they got to do this lead safe work. And she said, but no one understood what they did. They just said, I just know it costs $250 more. They do more stuff. And so I explained everything that had to happen and why. And she was like so appreciative. Mm. And an educated consumer is so much better to understand, make a good educated decision, and to deal with. So yeah, that's the goal, and that's what we're trying to do every day at Mosby and right here on the show every Saturday for 2 hours. So you can get more information from us right here on the show. We got one segment left, 314-436-7900, and we're going to take a break. And give us a shout when we return.
You're listening to The Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts on 97.1 FM Talk. Now, once again, here's Rich Orris.
All right, we are back live here. Rich Orris here for you with special guest today, Scott Mosby. And, you know, we've had so many great conversations and questions and things to answer. This has been like 2 tons of fun for me. I've had a blast for it. I was hoping to talk a little more about the business and the industry and all these different things. But, you know, we were talking about really the biggest thing and the nicest thing is just being able to help everybody out and really just help them do better and make better educated decisions. And I mean, is that the biggest thing you really miss about all this?
Absolutely. It's, you know, it's just being relevant and helping people. And frankly, the reason I stepped away is I wasn't able to remember things that quickly and draw up the experience as well. And you know, you're upfront and personal with the products, the people, and the solutions all the time, Rich. So, you know, I'm sitting here thinking, you know, my job description is away from the tools and the trade, and you're right there applying that every day. It's like, I'm losing this race. This guy belongs over here, you know? So frankly, it's nice to be the assistant to you now.
Yeah.
I trust that, but if it's just
that's
me,
awesome.
It's kind of hard to bring it, you know, as my experience has changed.
It does. I mean, I was just in a meeting yesterday and we were going over how we perform some of the work that we perform when we site a house. And we were talking about oil canning and how can we prevent it and all this and that. And everybody's talking about all these different things. And they're like, well, we can do this, we can do that. And we're talking about how, we need to make sure we explain to everybody how we're doing this better. Mm. And my question was, are we doing this? Because I'm not on site every time, all the time, going around and being up front. And I'm like, so, and then I learned we were. And I'm like, awesome. Okay, good. Yeah. Then I'm good with saying we're doing this better.
But good. That's the right
let's
answer.
Let's not say that until we're doing it better. Let's make sure we've got this way. Yeah. And they were basically reassuring. And the whole conversation was dark colors of metal will wave in the heat and a lot more than the lighter colors, and you see it more than the lighter colors, and the biggest wave coming. So, and this is what I love about Mosby Building Arts is we're having this meeting not because we're having an issue with it and not because we put in a lot of these dark colors, but because that's the next wave and trend. You see the white siding and all the black windows and the black fascia and gutters. And so you're going to start to see more of this. And we're literally ahead of the schedule. We're going, we have an issue with this. What about 2% of what we do?
Yeah.
And our guys already know to do it like this when we run into that. So now we're making a plan thinking in the next 5 years, we're going to run into it more and more and more. How do we make sure we're doing it?
How do we stay out of trouble?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that was, I would say, probably the plan that you kind of helped develop in the company culture around Mosby and everything that we do like that, and getting so many people to think like that. I'll never forget one of the first conversations that I had with you when we were talking about me running jobs and being a project manager, and you were asking me what I don't like about what I do, and we talked about putting out fires for clients, and you asked me, said, well, if you work with me and you help me develop a system that constantly greases all the wheels so none of them squeak, then maybe we don't have to go to the squeakiest wheel every time and who's shouting and yelling, and we can actually have happy clients and happy workers and all of this. And I was like, man, that's fabulous. Like, I hope that can actually happen.
Well, you knew what it was. You're dealing with it all the time. It's like, what if somebody wanted you to build the perfect cart that doesn't have squeaky wheels? Well, I do this and I do this and I do that. It's like, okay, well, that's what we're doing.
So
everybody says, oh, gee, Scott, you're smart. It's like, no, I got all that from Rich. I'm just the do guy.
Well, and that's, and you know, I've said lately too, especially after going through COVID and all the different stuff, I've told everybody, I said, you know, years ago, I would always say, you know, if I could only clone myself, I could just do so much more. I could be so much better. I could be. And then it was about 2 years into COVID, I really, really started realizing the team and saying, you know, I really need to clone all of them, because cloning me isn't going to do a darn thing for me.
I know what
I'm going to make me twice as busy. I need all these smart people around me that I have. I need more of them.
Yeah. Well, that's where the training came from. We just tore out a warehouse and made more space so we could have a big training program. So the pieces that you're learning real time, and our tradesmen and all of our painters and electricians, all those guys are learning, they make sure they too, that the rest of the team is performing it to their expectations. And ultimately then we deliver great project, homeowners can trust it. Our warranty then, you know, is worthwhile. You know, it's like, we're just, you know, touching up this and,
And less people, labor shortages, all that, more training. It just has to happen. So, hey, I had a blast today. Thanks for coming in, Scott. I know you'll be filling in for me not too long from now when I go on vacation. So you'll get to hear Scott a little bit more. Had a blast. Thanks for coming in. For everybody else out there, hey, take care of yourselves. Take care of your houses. We'll talk to you next week.